What a strange gospel reading we have today. This story in which Jesus relates the parable of the dishonest manager. He said to his disciples, there was this rich man. He had a big enterprise, so big, in fact, that he needed a manager to take care of it for him. And somewhere down the road, the manager decided to be dishonest and was found out and was turned in. So the owner of the enterprise says to the manager, give me an accounting for what you've done. You cannot work here anymore. So naturally, the man is filled with dread because he doesn't know what to do. He says to himself, I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. So he seems to have no skills outside of this managerial role, and he hasn't gotten to the point yet of desperation where he's willing to beg. So being a shrewd man, he calls together the debtors, those who owe money to his master, and he starts to cook the books with them in order to gain favor. How much do you owe? I owe 100. Make it 50. And you, how much do you owe? I owe 100 too. Make it 80. All so that when he is finally out of his job and he does lose his source of income, he can go and sponge off these people. Not even doing anything productive. This man sounds just despicable, like the kind of person you really wouldn't want to be around. But to my surprise, every time I read this, and perhaps to yours, when the master finds out about this, he actually commends the man for his shrewd dealing. And Jesus says, the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. What is Jesus talking about in this? I think, first of all, you know, there's the punchline at the end, you cannot serve God and wealth. So that's pretty obvious. He's setting up a dichotomy between serving the interests and the forces of this world and focusing your attention and efforts on attaining those things eternal. Think back to the collect we prayed today, that even as we are among things that are passing away, may our hearts and minds be set on the things that are eternal. So that collect directly relates to this gospel story. So yes, don't fix your eyes on the things that are passing away. Fix your eyes on the things that are heavenly. But I think you can also dig a little bit deeper into this this gospel passage and find a glimpse of sort of how God relentlessly chases us, how God relentlessly calls us into discipleship with him. We're like the debtors, those who owe the master however much. And I would say, at the risk of sounding sacrilegious, that Jesus is the manager. God, of course, is the one. God the Father owns the enterprise. Jesus has come to earth to mediate between us and God. Jesus comes to earth as a man, though fully God, to open the way of salvation to us, to show us the true path, to turn our minds totally around from the way of the world to the way of God. And it takes some doing to do this, doesn't it? I think if he had just gone out into the street and yelled, repent, for the end is near, we probably wouldn't have heard much about him to this day. I think the story would have been lost. Instead, Jesus goes out into the world, and sometimes reluctantly, sometimes willingly, but sometimes reluctantly, he shows these signs to people of who he is. He doesn't like to speak about it until really the very end of his life on earth. But he goes around and he heals the sick. He goes around and gives the blind sight. He opens the ears of the deaf. He makes the mute to speak. He brings Lazarus back from the dead. He casts out demons. All of these stories that are recounted in the scriptures, and probably more. And we know, of course, about his disciples. We know about a few other people, Mary Magdalene, the sisters Mary and Martha, Lazarus, Nicodemus, people who had interactions with him. But think about the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, where he fed 5,000 in one sitting. So 5,000 people, just at one time, were there to hear him speak. So imagine all of the people who Jesus touched, if not with directly with a miracle or some sort of physical healing, at least with his words. How many hearts and lives were changed that we don't even know about because of his shrewdness in dealing with us. You see, God chases after us. We sometimes think, especially in dark times, that God has forsaken us, when really it's we who lose sight of God. God is never away from us. Jesus Christ is never far from us. He's there holding us up, bearing our pain with us, just like he rejoices with us in our times of joy. So to our human eyes, it seems as though God turns away from time to time, but in fact, it is we who turn away, and it is God who relentlessly chases us. And how shrewd is that? It's almost a little bit of trickery, if you will. I mean, it makes no sense. Why would this all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving God continue over and over again to come to us, just like he did the people of the ancient people of Israel? Again and again he called them into covenant. Well, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the new covenant for us. And again, when we turn away, he calls us back. So I think in this parable of the dishonest manager, when Jesus says, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, what he's saying to us is, follow my example. Don't do what people think you're going to do. What people think you're going to do is turn away from them, shut down, shut them out, if they've wronged you, if they're different from you, if. And also in the face of disaster and tragedy, this has been a really bad weekend. There was a stabbing in Minnesota in a mall, a mass stabbing. There was a pipe bomb in New Jersey. There were killings here in Philadelphia. And of course, the bombing in New York City, which took place a block from where we used to live. So especially in the face of things like that, God says, don't shut down, don't turn away, don't turn your back, don't close your eyes, but go out into that world with your arms outstretched, just as I did on the cross for you, just as I welcome you into my embrace over and over and over again, for no merit of your own. I call on you, my disciples, to do the same to your brothers and sisters. So yes, on the one hand, we have this parable that's very clearly about serving God and not serving the powers of this earth. But it's also about the subversive love of God, the subversive, relentless love of God, which we are all beneficiaries of, and which we as Christian men and women are called to go out into the world and share. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.